From Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Hoping against hope, Abram believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, when I've read this passage repeatedly and considered what it says, there have been times when I thought to myself, Paul, I don't know what Old Testament you were reading. I don't know what book of Genesis you were reading. I don't know what Abraham you were reading about. But the Abraham that I know of from the book of Genesis, he had a faith that wasn't exactly 100% up there. At least that's the way the story reads. If you take a look back, there's two wonderful versions of the story we heard today, which speaks more to Sarah. I want to look first at the story from chapter, 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, "You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." Surrogate motherhood, if you will. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think Abram had to be beaten to go into that tent with Hagar. I don't think it took much convincing on the part of Sarai to convince Abram to go ahead and do this. Moses writes here in Genesis, he listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. He went in to Hagar. Now wait a minute. Now you know, sometimes you're reading along and you're going through the scripture and you're reading what it says, and something just kind of goes in one eyeball and out the ear, and you don't quite hear what it says. Sarai's who? Who is she? His wife. She is Abram's wife. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I can add 1 plus 1, Dad. And Sarai, wife, and Hagar, wife, equal 2 wives. How many men in here think they could handle 2 wives? Raise your hand. Let's, and don't let, don't you dare. Could you? Could you? He can't handle one. Could you handle 2 wives? No? Huh. I have a friend who says, and I don't necessarily disagree with him, but with this passage in mind, I have a friend who says, we need to get back to the standards of biblical marriage. Really? 2 wives? In every kitchen? No, thank you. I don't think so. That's one of those things that kind of hits you and you don't expect it, like it just did now.
So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. He went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Here's Hagar, servant girl, young. Doesn't say she was pretty, just says she's young. Servant girl. And this promise has been made. God's made this promise to Abram. You're going to have children like the sands on the seashore and like the stars up in the heavens. So that if you were to try to go out and count, 1, 2, 3, 4, as many as you could count of the sands on the seashore, you would have children. Or if you could count the stars up in the sky, you would have that many kids. You're going to have kids. Nations are going to come out of you, God said. And here's Abram standing back there listening to God, and he's about 100 years old. And Sarai hears it too, hears the promise, and she takes a look at herself and says, well, God doesn't have a watch. God doesn't know about menopause. So, I guess we'll just have to get it done for God. I have a young servant girl, Abram. Here, take her to be your wife. Go in there and raise up children and get God's job done for him. It'll be from you, and that's what God said, right? Nations will come out of you, Abram. There's nothing in there about Abram saying, oh no, dear, I don't think so, dear. I don't think we need to do that, dear. I think we need to really trust in God and see God work a miracle through you. Oh no, dear, don't make me go in there with Hagar. Oh no, dear, we can wait on God and just wait and let God work the miracle. I don't see any of that in here in Genesis chapter 16. It says, and Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Like, sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Let's go. And Hagar, unlike Sarai, Hagar conceived. She had a kid. And she turns and looks at her mistress, at her senior wife, Sarai. And she lords it over her and goes, ha, 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 I can have a kid with your husband. Ha, ha. Wait, ladies, how would that make you feel? They're shooting darts at me. Then Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. If I'd been Abram, I'd have said, this was your idea. But no, she says, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my slave girl to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, your slave girl is in your power. Do to her as you please. Yes, dear. Do whatever you need to do, dear. Leave me alone, dear. And he had a kid with Hagar, Ishmael. And Ishmael and Hagar received promises from God. But Ishmael is not the promised child. Ishmael received promises from God and is blessed. And if you look at Ishmael's descendants, you see what God said about them way back here in Genesis is what's happened. But Ishmael is not the promised child. Ishmael is not the child from whom all of the descendants, like the sands of the seashore and the stars up in the heaven, Ishmael is not the child of promise that relates to that promise. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul, writing in the letter to the Galatians, would say that Abraham and Hagar attempting to get God's will done the human way is like humans trying to be saved by works. Abraham and Hagar attempting to fulfill God's promise of children in a human way is like trying to be saved by works. Whereas Abraham and Sarah, trusting in the promise of God to work a miracle and have children from Abraham and Sarah, is salvation by faith. The second story is the story we heard read this morning from Genesis. Abrams receives some visitors. And these visitors, he knows they're VIPs. And we understand them to be God, coming in the form of angels. And they talk to Abram about the promise. And Abraham listens and hastens to their voice. And Sarah is listening in the tent. And that gentleman, isn't that just like women? Listening in on the conversation. Well, I'm really going to get shot now, aren't I? She's in the tent listening. And Abram's outside talking with these angel folk. And it says, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And Abraham said, "There in the tent." And the angel says, "I will surely return to you at this same time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah, listening in the tent, which was behind Abram. And Sarah and Abraham were old, advanced in years, and Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" Sarah was about the age of Miss Mary Lewis. And she is excited that she is going to have kids, and she's laughing at the prospect. And you can interpret that laughing several different ways. The first way is as incredulousness. "Ha! You're kidding. Ha! Am I going to have pleasure being a mother with you being old, Abraham, and me being old?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. But he said, "No, you did laugh." Which kind of gives us an insight into what kind of laugh it was. Not so much excitement as disbelief. "Huh, me? Have a kid? I'm old. Abraham, you're old. Ha!" And the angel says, the Lord says, "Why did she laugh? Is anything impossible for God?" Now, when it comes to faith, that's the principal question. When it comes to faith, that is the principal question we must answer. Is anything too hard? Is anything impossible? Is anything difficult for God? And the answer, if you are a Christian, the answer, if you are a person of faith, the answer that we must have is no. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. That means that Abram and Sarai don't have to depend upon Hagar producing Ishmael with Abraham to have kids. They can have faith. They can trust in God, even despite the evidence of their senses and the reality that exists around them. They can have faith even despite what they see and know to be true, that God will work a miracle and she, Sarah, not Hagar, Sarah, will have children. And those children, that child, Isaac, will become the child of promise through whom there will be descendants like the stars up in the heaven and the sands by the seashore. Now, Abraham was faced with a quandary. He's an old man. He whines to God, "Who's going to inherit all of my possessions? Who's going to inherit my land? Who's going to inherit my house? All I have is a servant to inherit." And God says, "No, you're going to have children." And at first, Abraham and Sarah thought they're going to have to get God's job done for God, because God just doesn't understand things like menopause. So, Hagar. And for that mistake, for that stumbling of faith, because that's what it was, weak faith, friends. For that stumbling, the Jews and Christians, and I'll say it, the whole world, has been paying ever since. Because the descendants of Hagar and Abraham, Ishmael and his kids, are our brother and sister Arabs, the people of the Islamic faith. That's a pretty stiff penalty, isn't it? For lack of faith. 3,000 years of strife and violence. A feud amongst the children of Abraham. Jimmy Carter, former president of the United States, wrote a book about the seed and children of Abraham. And he recognized that in this discussion, which was a very interesting political and biblical book, he says, the fight in the world today, and he wrote this decades ago, stems from a simple lack of faith and a mistake that stemmed from it. Faith, yes, that Abraham could have kids. So while he was old, it was still theoretically possible. But Hagar, their alternative to the promise, And that mistake has resulted in this. The strife and the fight between the Jews and the Arabs, and now the Christians. Stiff penalties for weak faith, my friends. Let's pull on into Paul now in Romans. Pull back to what we heard read this morning from Romans. Hoping against hope. And really and truly, that's what it is. There was no hope that he could possibly have kids. There was no hope that he and Sarah could have children. Hoping against hope, though. In the end, after this promise, he had faith. And his faith grew, amazingly so, as we'll see in just a moment. Hoping against hope, he believed. Ugh, yuck. You know I do not like that word. It is a formation of the verb form of the Greek word for faith. he exercised faith. Hoping against hope, Abraham exercised faith that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead. And I agree. That's right. There does seem to be no question that Abraham had no problem thinking of himself as being capable of having kids. None. He was willing to have faith for that. Even though he was as good as dead, being about 100 years old, he had faith that he could have kids. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. For he was about 100 years old. And here comes the trouble. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Well, if you go back to the very beginning of that story in Genesis, there's a problem with that statement. Because if that was his opinion and his belief, why did he go listen to the voice of his wife and go with Hagar? No. Paul is speaking about from the promise that was made to him in the Genesis reading from this morning, Genesis chapter 18. From that promise forward, when God made it clear that from Sarah, not just from Abraham, but from Sarah and Abraham, would the descendants come. From that point forward, yes. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, but being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. So, we see a journey of faith. We see faith that begins with an initial promise, and the faith that he had in his own ability to sire children was there, but with his wife, Sarai, no. I tried it with Hagar. Big mistake. Wish we could do it. You can't. And God appears in the form of three angels and sits down with Abraham and says, I'm going to return in a year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarai, listening in the back, laughs. Why did she laugh? Is anything impossible for God? And by this time, Abraham's faith had reached the point that his answer to that question is no. Nothing is impossible for God. So much so that when Isaac is a boy and has been grown up to a certain degree, and God comes to Abraham and says, take your son, your only son, whom I gave you as a child of promise from Sarah, and take him up on the mount and sacrifice him as a burnt offering unto me. When God called upon him to sacrifice his son, Abram had no problem believing, having faith, exercising faith, that if he went up on that mountain, God would either stop him before he executed his son, or would restore his son to him through a miraculous resurrection. Because God's promises had been fulfilled, and he trusted that they would continue to be fulfilled. Faith. Weakened faith. Faith that usually begins in baby steps. Small, little advances of faith, which lead to greater advances of faith. Just as when you're working out or exercising. I've been walking a lot lately. And I'll get out and I'll walk around the block several times. And when I would first start walking, I'd make it around the block a few times and, whew, I'm getting tired. I'm going to have to quit. And so I would push it a little further every time. And for a while there, Dorcas would be dragging me down the street. In the end, I would be so tired, I'd have to force her to stop and to go into the backyard, and I'd go into the house and collapse. But over day after day after day of walking with Dorcas, eventually it got to the point where I'm dragging Dorcas because she's getting tired. As slowly my strength grows and my stamina grows and my ability to walk distances increases, my strength improves, I build in my stamina, in my strength. Faith is the same way. We take baby steps with weakened faith to begin. Sometimes we stumble, sometimes we fail, and God picks us up and dusts us off and sends us forward. But over time, as we exercise faith, as we live in faith, trusting in the promises of God, as we live in faith, trusting that God will do what God says He will do, as we live in faith, our faith strengthens. And faith is reckoned to us, faith is imputed to us as righteousness. What does that word impute mean? When a jury rules not guilty, it doesn't matter if that person's guilty or not guilty in truth. They have been judged, reckoned, not guilty. And the absence of guilt has been imputed to them. And they will be treated by the legal system as if they were not guilty, regardless of the truth. When O.J. Simpson was declared not guilty, 95% of this country believed he is guilty. But guess what? The legal system had spoken. He was to be treated as if he were not guilty. God does the same thing for us for faith. When we have faith in the promises of Christ, when we have faith in His blood, when we have faith in Him, in His death on the cross for our sins, in His resurrection for our justification, when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are considered, we are judged, we are imputed as being not guilty. And we are as guilty as sin, friends. And yet, we are declared not guilty. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake only, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, who was raised for our justification. We, my friends, when we exercise faith, baby steps at first, sometimes faltering, sometimes failing, when we exercise faith, we are declared not guilty. That's a fundamental statement and proclamation of the church, my friends. That's a fundamental statement of the Christian faith. For faith, God gives us forgiveness. Give thanks and praise to God. And when you find your faith weakened, when you find your faith stumbling, when you see the things of this life, because that's what was going on with Abraham, he was seeing the condition of his wife, and he had some faith, but he didn't have super strong faith at first, and he saw the condition of Sarah, and Sarai knew her condition, and she said, "Take Hagar and have a kid with her." He stumbled. He had faith, but it was weakened by the circumstances that he saw. Later on, after he heard the promise direct from God that it would be through Sarah that he would have these kids, having experienced God keeping His word, He believed nothing is too difficult for God. And he exercised faith. And God did work a miracle. And Isaac was born. May we be children of promise too, exercising faith. And when we stumble, when we don't quite make it, trust in God's grace that he will pick you up. Step out in faith again. And as you exercise faith, you will grow stronger in faith. And give thanks and praise to God for the gift of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.